Welcome to our 20th episode. It is the end of series one of our podcast on psychotherapy at the grassroots level. I'm so grateful to you all for sticking with me, and I hope that you've gained some insights for your own journey. A question that has been asked around why we don't help ourselves when we know we need it, or why things don't work out for us emotionally, or when we don't reach our set goals. Well, the simple answer is this. Of course we can self-sabotage. We can self-sabotage our own well-being, which reduces the possibility of achieving our goals or well-being. So what is self-sabotage? Well, it refers to behaviours or thought patterns that hold us back and prevent us from doing what we need to do or what we want to do. Self-sabotage creates patterns in our everyday life that ultimately interferes with our goals. The most common behaviour is, of course, procrastination. Or another is where we self-medicate with drugs or alcohol or comfort eat, and, of course, with self-harming. Now, we're not always aware that we're doing this self-sabotage. And even if we are aware of it, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to stop doing it. However, it is very possible that we can overcome such behaviour or thought pattern. But it's a slow process and can take consistency and persistence. So, okay, why do we self-sabotage? Well, there are many, many reasons why we might damage our own well-being. Some people have a deep struggle, say with food or drugs or alcohol or gambling or other issues, that end up having a very large cost to their health and to their relationships. However, these are the obvious, and not all self-sabotage is that obvious. In fact, it can be very subtle. So subtle in ways such as accumulation of dysfunction or distorted beliefs that ultimately underestimate our own abilities and capabilities. Does this by feelings and or lashing out at those around us? So I suppose the next question has to be, how do I know I'm sabotaging myself? Now, I know sometimes it can be very difficult to identify or at least be clear when my behaviour is in the self-sabotage mode. And that's mainly because the consequences are not always immediate. So one way to identify self-sabotage is to look at your behaviour and ask yourself whether or not it is in alignment with your goal. And if you discover that it's not, then your behaviour is self-defeating or self-sabotage. Let's take a little look at the different forms of self-sabotage. One that we've spoken about already is procrastination. And usually procrastination, because the tasks we are needing to complete in some way bring on feelings of anxiety or distress. So putting them off gives us the avoidance of these negative emotions, but at the same time stops us from completing our goals, which would bring fulfillment, joy and happiness. Therefore, it's self-sabotage. What also supports this procrastination is the distractions, such as social media or setting unrealistic deadlines, such as, oh, I can do that next week. Another form of it is self-criticism. Now, this can also be a factor where there's a voice in your head that gives you so much self-doubt and it says you're not good enough. So much so that you stop believing in your own abilities and value. The next one is negativity, where you don't see the beauty around you or where you always have a negative comment about almost everything. Now, we all have the capacity to be negative at times, but those who self-sabotage are more prone to experiencing and expressing their negativity, regardless of where they are or who they're with. overindulgence. Overeating, getting wasted, substance abuse, binge watching the TV or internet, or anything you do in excess to avoid unpleasant feelings is a sign that you are in self-sabotage mode. The next one is comparing yourself to others. When you start comparing yourself to others, it's not going to motivate you to move better or to be better. It will only make you feel like, well, you're not good enough. Therefore, you feel bad about yourself and stop believing in yourself. Questioning your purpose. People who self-sabotage will often ask themselves, what is my purpose? We can feel worthless and inadequate. So self-esteem is in the toilet. And that's self-sabotaging. So why would we want to sabotage a relationship? Well, when developing a deep relationship with someone, it usually leads to vulnerability. And that's as it should be, because we're opening up to an individual. However, the process itself can make us very insecure about the possible loss of the relationship. Our self-esteem and some other uncomfortable feelings can then surface. Then you desire to avoid these emotional vulnerabilities, or the pain, or the rejection, or the hurt. So we protect ourselves. How do we do that? By self-sabotaging the relationship. And with addiction, it can be so difficult, as drugs and alcohol can allow us to escape any difficult or negative emotion. We can develop a very strange or warped view about our addiction, such as we need alcohol or drugs to be liked and have relationships, even though in reality, it usually does the opposite. If you take drinking, it can ruin a relationship because these distort the self-belief along with the chemical changes, make overcoming our addiction more difficult, and therefore we self-sabotage. So here's another question. How can we identify our triggers for self-sabotage behaviour? It's an interesting one. Well, we know that our thought pattern can be harmful, and it usually supports our self-sabotage behaviour. But they can often happen automatically without a conscious awareness. And certainly it wouldn't have a conscious awareness process. So we must try to uncover them and bring them into our awareness or consciousness. One of the ways to do this is to take a note whenever you get a negative or distressing emotion. In other words, write down what you were thinking right before you got the negative or distressing emotion. If you can do this as often as you can throughout the day, over a period of a couple of weeks, you will actually begin to notice a pattern and you will have uncovered your triggers for the negative or distressing behaviour and therefore can do something about them. Ah, so now the other question comes in as to how can you stop sabotaging a relationship? Well, first and foremost, you must understand your childhood relationship patterns so that you can start identifying present triggers, especially around the self-sabotaging behaviour, like picking fights or blaming your partner. One of the ways to do this is, again, journaling. Learn to accept some discomfort and respond differently. Maybe even communicate with your partner around your habits and even your process. And you might even begin to create for yourself some self-compassion. And if I do this correctly, I will send you a leaflet on a 5-minute self-compassion technique. So just check your attachment and let me know if it's not there. So how do you stop procrastinating? Aha, now there's a good one. Stop and think about what you are really avoiding. Think beyond the normal statement of which we all know, like I just don't feel like, you know, doing that right now, or I'm a little bit tired. I won't bother doing it now. I'll do it later. Once you understand or can pinpoint what the real reason is that's holding you back, you can actively then change how you view it, especially in your head. The one key to overcoming procrastination is self-discipline. Take small steps and achieve small tasks and goals each day. Stop overthinking a task. Also, accept any errors you make without judging yourself for them. See them as part of the learning process. Procrastination tends to let your brain see self-doubt in your ability and competence. And self-doubt, as we know, triggers self-sabotage. Now, of course, disorganization is related to procrastination due to the fact that if one aspect of your life is in a mess, then you can be guaranteed that other areas will follow if they haven't already. It can affect your work, your health, your relationships. So if, for example, you are disorganized, you may find that you waste a lot of time and energy trying to complete tasks that you've set yourself. So try to stop and find out what is causing you to be disorganized in the first place. Maybe you're overwhelmed with what's going on around you, and this can lead you to procrastinate even more than usual. So try decluttering. That's another good way to start. Because by having more physical space around you, you actually gain more mental space. We also have the imposter syndrome. Now, this is described as a state of feeling inadequate, even though there is evidence and well-deserved evidence that you're actually a success. In other words, you think everyone else deserves success, except for some reason, you don't. Now, in order to stop this imposter syndrome from wrecking or ruining your acceptance of success, try reminding yourself every day, at least twice, that your success comes down to your ability and your capability, that all your actions, your attitudes, and your character are all in your control. And if something goes right, it's because you did an excellent job on it. Initiating conflicts is another link back to telling yourself that you're bored. And because of this, you generally will either push people away or start picking a fight with them. So either you want to go back to what is familiar, like the chaos, or you're afraid of being rejected and hurt. What you're saying on both behaviours is, I'm going to make the decisions about the role you play in my life, even if that means the end of our relationship. Why? Because you pushed them away. So how do we stop? How do we stop this behaviour? Well, actually, it can be very simple. And it's as simple as having an open and honest discussion or communication with those you care about. But you need also to practice a little self-control so that you don't leave yourself open to regrets later. So when you find yourself starting to push somebody away, or indeed have the urge to begin a confrontation, just take a step back and rethink it. Ask yourself, what am I really feeling right now, and why am I feeling it? Sometimes we can be out of focus. So instead of focusing on what you actually have or what you can do, you have a tendency to turn your attention to what you don't have, or what is missing, or what you're not able to do. What does this do? Well, it makes you long for what you don't actually need. It can also give you a very strong sense of being dissatisfied. I would challenge each of you to take a note of how often you actually focus on things that you don't have or that don't work in your life. And to be able to stop losing focus, you must learn to give your attention to the things in your life that you have, no matter how small you think they are. It may actually help you to keep a journal so that you can record all of the goals and progress you make, so that you can look back over it and see and remind yourself of what a good person you actually are and how capable you are. By changing the negative to a positive, you will inevitably practice gratitude, which will increase your strength in areas such as happiness and satisfaction. And it will decrease the amount of self-sabotage you engage in. Now, these are just a few of the ways that we self-sabotage. And I hope that I've given you also some resolutions to help change your thinking around them. But I suppose really what it comes down to is this. To stop sabotaging yourself, you must first actually recognize it. You must recognize that you're getting in your own way. Sometimes we know this and we still don't stop. Now, sometimes we don't. When we do, we procrastinate instead of dealing with the mess, and it becomes a bigger and bigger issue in our lives, so that we have to live longer with it. Or we impulsively buy a large bag of crisps when we're trying to cut back on eating junk food. And what are we doing? We're not dealing with the core problem. We're not dealing with the real issue to be able to stop self-sabotaging. We need to see the patterns of our behavior and find creative and healthy ways to counteract them so that we form new habits. And to change our thinking patterns, we must ask ourselves, how do I deal with this? Firstly, I have to factor into my judgments my visual thinking bias. Then discount my initial reaction and look at the problem again with the eyes of realism, maybe with fresh eyes. Then I verbally say to myself, my brain is reacting as if it's a threat, when in fact it might be an opportunity for me to learn instead. When you learn to journal your usual thinking patterns, you will begin to see them differently and understand your thinking errors. Then you can correct them and it will become much easier. But in order for all this to happen, there has to be consistency and persistence to continue the process, day in, day out, until the change happens. It's not as hard as it seems. But what is hard is to change our attitudes towards it and towards the process. Please stay safe and stay well. Namaste.